Listener, summer nights are heating up, and if your mattress is trapping heat, it might be time for a change. Avocado Green Mattresses use breathable, organic materials that sleep cooler naturally. All avocado mattresses are crafted with certified organic latex, wool, and cotton. Breathable materials that sleep cooler and are free from harmful chemicals. Destined to provide exceptional comfort and support with options ranging from gentle firm to plush, meeting diverse sleep needs and preferences. Take our mattress quiz to see which mattress and comfort option is right for you. And it promotes better sleep through breathable, naturally temperature regulating materials, which can improve overall well-being. No harmful chemicals, just healthy materials for a cleaner, safer sleep. Avocado is committed to sustainability. Every avocado mattress is made from eco-friendly materials and built to last. High quality means fewer replacements, better for the planet and your wallet. And avocado mattresses are ethical and transparent. From sourcing to production, Avocado holds itself to the highest sustainability and safety standards. Certified organic and always honest. Head to avocadogreenmattress.com today and check out their mattress and bedding sale. Avocado, dream of better. Listener, did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to target nearly every mood and health concern you can think of. I'm talking about Mood.com's incredible line of functional gummies. And you can get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code Obscura. Forget one-size-fit-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. Whether that's mind magic gummies for deep work and creativity, PMS support to ease cramps and balance mood swings, or their sexual euphoria gummies to help you feel ready for action and turn every touch into a full body experience. Listener, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much anywhere these days, but Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code Obscura. So head to Mood.com, find your functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code Obscura when you check out to save 20% off on your first order.
Welcome, listener. I'm glad you're here. Take a seat next to the fire.
Welcome to Obscura, where we shine a light on the dark.
Since he was first interviewed the day the bodies of his family were found, Donald had maintained his innocence. His first version of events did not waver. He said he visited the home on Tuesday, July 28th, like he always did on Tuesdays. He cooked dinner and stayed to eat with his mother and John. John then helped him clear up, and he left Richard's dinner in the oven for him, like he usually did when Richard worked late. When he left that night around 5:30 p.m., everything with his family was normal, and they were very much alive. The murders of his family had been brutal and as cold-blooded as they come. At the time Donald was first interviewed, hours after the bodies had been found, Detective Infinger believed they had been shot. The truth was much more vicious and personal. John Smith had a favorite spot in the den where he liked to watch TV. In what was originally the internal garage of the home, The space was now busy and cluttered with boxes and clothes piled up. There was a bed at the back of the room, and a love seat at the front near the doorway, positioned at the perfect angle to get the best view of the television in the corner. John was sitting in his spot on the love seat when his killer crept up behind him and began to beat him directly in the head with a hammer. Blow after blow caused extensive damage to John's skull and caused bleeding on his brain. When the blows came to an end, his killer switched his weapon from a hammer to a knife. John's throat was slit twice. The knife was removed after the first cut and repositioned to finish the job. These wounds were to a depth of 6.5 inches. John's voice box and carotid artery were severed, and the blade of the knife chipped a vertebrae at the back of his neck. Blood spatter on the pile of boxes directly behind the love seat confirmed John's position when he was attacked before blankets and clothes were piled up on top of his body, concealing it from view. Oblivious to the danger inside her home, Von Seal Smith was sat in her chair in the lounge watching QVC, her hand poised on the remote, ready to make her next purchase. She too was subjected to a surprise attack from behind, with her attacker wielding a hammer. With no blood spatter evident behind her, like there was with John, it was most likely that something was placed over her head immediately before the attack began. She received 8 separate blows to her skull before the knife came out, and her throat was slit in a similar manner to John's. She had injuries to her scalp and head. Her skull was fractured. She had cuts to the surface of her brain and bleeds on her brain from the devastating and relentless assault. At 78 years old, there was little Von Seal could do to protect herself. Von Seal had another injury on her body. The tip of her pinky finger on her left hand was missing. The jagged, rough edges left behind indicated it was not a clean and swift wound. Richard Smith had been at work on that Tuesday with the Department of Homeland Security. CCTV from his offices captured him leaving work. Wearing a pale pink shirt, he was chatting jovial and happy with his co-workers and friends as he exited the building at 6:36 p.m. Richard was bigger than his mom and brother. Out of the 3 family members, it would be Richard who would pose the most threat to his killer. The killer knew he had to get the upper hand, and fast. For Richard, he had another method of murder in mind, a bullet. As Richard walked in the back door of his home, he was ambushed by a gunshot. The bullet hit him just below his right ear and exited out behind his ear. It wasn't a deep wound, and the brain was not impacted, but the shock of the blow, the impact of the bullet, would have likely stunned Richard and momentarily rendered him incapable of defending himself. In those moments, his killer attacked. Richard also had his throat slit, with a wound so deep it hit his spinal column. The killer wanted the job done right. This injury would have caused almost immediate paralysis of his arms and his legs. Richard slumped to the floor of the den, not knowing under the giant pile of clothes right next to him was the body of his brother, also murdered by the same killer. Richard Smith still had his identification badges around his neck when he was murdered. When his body was found and crime scene technicians were beginning their investigations, those ID cards would confirm his identity somberly and chillingly. The photo and writing on the cards were partially obscured by the blood they were now covered in. His car keys and wallet were never found. Richard's body was on the ground and slumped forward, half lying on his front. A section of his belt at his back was pulled up. It looked like he had been moved after he had fell to the floor, with his belt used to maneuver his body. As far as the prosecution were concerned, there was no doubt as to who entered the Smith family home and took their lives one by one in calculated, premeditated, and brutal violence.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. Von Seal Smith, Richard Smith, and John Smith. Those are the 3 people that were killed in this case. And they are the mother and the 2 half-brothers of this defendant, Donald Hartung. You will see that this family was brutally and violently murdered by this defendant. Specifically, on Tuesday, July 28th of 2015, this defendant went to the Smith home and cooked dinner. And that Tuesday, July 28th of 2015, is the last day the Smith family is known to be alive, and this defendant was the last person known to be with them. The defendant went over there that Tuesday. He cooked fried chicken, frozen corn, frozen green beans, French fries, and biscuits. Richards was left in the oven. And he also took blankets and clothes, and he piled them on top of John's body in the den. He moved his mother's body from the recliner in the living room to John's room down the hallway. And then he covered his mother with clothing and blankets, just as he had done to John. He also took rugs. There you'll see these bloody kind of drag marks from the living room area down the hallway to John's room. There are blood that looks like it's been dragged. And he also took rugs and placed them over the top of these drag marks. This defendant's DNA is in places where it should not be. They tested places where his DNA should not be, and that's where it was. Why did he cooperate? Because he had 3 days to get his story together. He had 3 days to rehearse this timeline. He had 3 days to get rid of the gun, the knife, his clothes. He had nothing but time until somebody found his family. I want to get something really clear. Law enforcement, not the state, questioned this defendant about his religion and whether it had some sort of reason or explanation for the murders of this family. And it was based on a website that law enforcement had found. They did research. They don't know anything about it. They found a website. They questioned him. They have an obligation and a responsibility to explore any avenue, any possibility for the motive behind this horrendous crime.
The evidence against Donald Hartung for these murders was stacking up. The more Assistant State Attorney Bridget Jensen for the prosecution worked her way through the evidence, the more attention she was gaining from the jury. 3 bodies lay across the Smith home, all in various states of decomposition by the time they were found. Inside the closed-up house with multiple blankets and clothes piled up on top of them, decomposition had occurred faster than if left in the open air. After talking the injury through their individual wounds, the medical examiner Dr. Andrea Minyard, who conducted the autopsies, was able to confirm they had eaten before they were killed. She was able to identify some small parts of the meal, as it was known Donald had cooked for them on the Tuesday evening. Digestion varies between individuals and across food types, making determining how long a person lives since their last meal a difficult task. 8 hours is the accepted outer limit, meaning Von Seal, Richard, and John were most likely murdered within 8 hours of eating Tuesday night's meal. There was more evidence pointing to Tuesday, July 28th, being the day the family were murdered. Von Seal had a pill box for her daily medication. It was found on the dining room table, with all slots empty, except Tuesday evening. John had a doctor's appointment on Wednesday at 10 a.m. A check with the doctor's office confirmed he did not show up for his appointment. Richard didn't arrive for work as expected on Thursday or Friday morning. One of the first witnesses the prosecution would call to the stand was the Smith family's next-door neighbor. George Chittenden lived at 4601 Deerfield Drive. Being retired, he was at home most days and spent a lot of time in his backyard and sitting out on the front porch with his wife. Mr. Chittenden recalled Tuesday, July 28, 2015. Donald came over to visit, as he usually did, driving his Lincoln Town Car. On that Tuesday, he recalled Donald was still at home when Richard returned from work around 7 p.m. He saw Donald leave around sunset at 7:45 p.m. that night. Although it was dusk, he drove away without his headlights on. His testimony was a direct contradiction to what Donald said he did on that night. George Chittenden wouldn't be the only witness to break apart Donald's story. The trial of Donald Hartung had been a long-anticipated one. The torment of the Smith family trying to come to terms with the loss of three family members in one deadly, horrific day continued year after year. Their lives were ended in a sea of violence behind the closed doors of 4605 Deerfield Drive. Now, one of their own was sitting on trial as the person responsible. An almost impossible sequence of events to comprehend and process. The local press had dubbed the case the Blue Moon Murders and wrote with headlines citing Wicca and witchcraft as motives at play. Donald was represented by defense attorney Michael J. Griffith, an experienced and tough lawyer who had been practicing bass in Pensacola for over 35 years. He was quick to highlight the horror of a man discovering his mom and two brothers had been killed inside their home, and then being accused of their murders less than an hour later. Griffith told of how investigators didn't look anywhere other than Donald Hartung, especially when they discovered his prayer room and Wiccan book collection during the search of his house. The focus on Donald's defense was dispelling the idea that he had murdered his family in some Wiccan ritual to coincide with the occurrence of a rare blue moon. Despite the theory no longer being the cornerstone of the prosecution's case, time and money were spent ensuring the jury did not believe a connection between the two.
Paul C. Larson. I'm also an ordained minister in Circle Sanctuary, which is one of the nation's oldest Wiccan churches chartered in the state of Wisconsin. I am currently retired, but I still hold rank as professor emeritus at the Chicago School of Professional Psychology, where I taught for 22 years.
Can you explain to the jury what the Wicca religion is?
The short answer is that the Wiccan religion is a modern religious movement that takes its inspiration from the pre-Christian religions of the ancient world. It's part of what I call a very broad umbrella group that is known perhaps better as paganism, or some groups prefer the term heathen. But I think the best way of describing it is really how it is billed at Naval Station Great Lakes, which is earth-based spirituality. Taking nature to be divine, rather than seeing nature as something created by a god outside of nature, we see the divine as within nature. The divine is the sun, the moon, the earth, the sky, the seas, the mountains. All of those things participate in the divine.
In this particular case, during an interview of my client by law enforcement, it has been alleged that because my client practiced Wicca, that he would have participated in a sacrifice of the deceased. Is there anything such as sacrificing either of animals or people in the Wicca religion?
No, there is not. There certainly was a tradition of both animal and human sacrifice in the ancient world, but one of the things that characterizes the modern religious world is that we have abandoned completely human sacrifice, and most religions now have abandoned animal sacrifice as well.
It was also suggested at the interview of my client that he murdered his family as a blue moon ritual.
Well, a blue moon technically is the second full moon in a month. And it's a fairly rare occurrence, occurring several times over several years. But again, there's no specific emphasis on the blue moon as opposed to any other full moon.
And so in the Wiccan religion, it would just be another full moon?
Another full moon, yes.
Is there any indication that those bodies were placed in any way in a ritualistic manner?
Absolutely none. They were basically haphazardly placed or partially covered up. But this doesn't make any sense from a ritual standpoint. If you were to use a sacrificial victim for a religious purpose, you would want them to be displayed in some way that is surrounded with other ritual elements like incense, holders, candles, pentagrams, or other sorts of things like that. And there was none of that at the Smith household.
Donald's practice as a Wiccan was a factor the prosecution still wanted the jury to hear. But they had an altogether more tried and tested type of motive for his crime. The lure of money, the belief of entitlement to that of money, and a determination to get it no matter what had to be done to achieve it. They focused their attention on the contents of Von Seal Smith's will. Von Seal's husband died in January 2012, and the money in his estate went to his wife and two sons. Bank statements from March 31, 2012 showed that John had over $200,000 in his bank account. Richard had close to $400,000, and Bonnie had around $300,000. This gave a combined total of almost $1 million. Donald was 58 years old and working in a basic $10 an hour job. He was renting a home that was safe, but small, and nothing fancy. He was driving an old car that needed repairs, and he couldn't afford it. There was no big retirement plan to look forward to. He told his coworker Mark it was his inheritance from his mother that would be his retirement. Donald Hartung had lived his life assuming he would receive inheritance money when his mother died. He knew there was money in the family. As the oldest child, he would receive it all. The discovery of that will and the knowledge that he had been written out of it destroyed his plans for himself and his retirement. There would be no money, no comfortable living without having to worry about cash or bills. The drastic and terrifying solution that seems to have come easily to Donald was triple murder. In his mind, the gains were great enough to justify his actions. The prosecution called forensics and DNA experts to the stand, who were able to tell the jury of the physical evidence found in the case. The jury saw photos of the kitchen trash filled with food, heavily blood-stained tissues, and several cigarette butts. The food matched what Donald cooked for the family the night the prosecution believed they were murdered. It was their blood on those tissues. Also, in the trash were the webcams Richard had installed just a few weeks earlier to keep his mom safe.
Ladies and gentlemen, not only will there be no question that these murders happened on July 28th, but there will be no question that this defendant is the person who murdered his family. And here is why. Last will and testament of Von Seal Smith, you will see a certified copy that will be moved into evidence. Regarding Von Seal's estate, I hereby give, devise, and bequeath to my husband, Richard A. Smith, provided he shall survive me. But if he does not survive me, then an equal share to my two sons, Richard Thomas Smith and John William Smith, to be theirs absolutely. I have intentionally made no provision herein for the benefit of my son, Donald Wayne Hartung Jr., not for lack of love or affection, but because he has sufficient assets of his own, and I have made ample provisions for him during my lifetime, signed Von Seal Smith. He was excluded. So to be included, all three of them had to die.
Listener, there seems to be fees everywhere these days, on anything from concert tickets to cleaning fees. They're everywhere, and they hurt the most when you're down. That's why Chime offers fee-free banking, which means no monthly fees, no overdraft fees, and no minimum balance fees. Sign up today at chime.com/obscura. Now, when I first moved back to Florida, I was desperately scrambling for a new bank, but so many of them had built-in fees. It took me a long time to find one that sat right with me. Fees can be a hurdle to getting ahead or saving up. With Chime, there's no monthly fees, no overdraft fees, no minimum balance requirements. Work on your financial goals through Chime today. Open an account in 2 minutes at chime.com/obscura. That's chime.com/obscura. Chime. feels like progress.
Chime is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC. Spot me eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Timing depends on submission of payment file. Fees apply at out-of-network ATMs. Bank ranking and number of ATMs according to U.S. News and World Report 2023. Chime checking account required.
Listener, HomeAglow is a top-rated home service platform dedicated to making your space clean and tidy. It has online booking capabilities that allow you to instantly schedule a cleaner in your area for a special occasion, party, or to help take something off your plate. Cleaners pass a rigorous certification process. Plus, they maintain a 4.8-star average platform rating. A fantastic way to support cleaners in your community. 100% of the cleaning fees and tips go directly to your cleaner. To schedule a cleaner, you simply have to go to HomeAglow's website to choose the day and time you're looking for and the duration of your cleaning to match with the cleaner. Schedule as quickly as this week or get something on the calendar for next month to check it off your to-do list early. You can see photos and reviews of background check cleaners before booking the right cleaner for you. The best part is their Forever Clean membership, which saves you $30 an hour on all future cleanings. Book unlimited cleanings starting at $19 an hour, backed by HomeAglow's happiness guarantee. HomeAglow services are only available in the U.S. Take home cleaning off your plate this fall by using HomeAglow. Head to homeaglow.com/obscura to get your first 3-hour cleaning for only $19. That's HomeAglow.com/obscura. There were items belonging to Richard that he was known to carry with him at all times. A black fabric document case containing his personal paperwork and financial documents. This case was found on the kitchen counter with Donald's DNA on the outside and Richard's checkbook that was inside. A claw hammer sat next to the kitchen sink, surrounded by work surfaces barely visible under food items and clutter. Washed down there was no blood visible to the naked eye. On the hammer, forensic testing found the DNA of Donald Hartung and all three of the victims, including traces of their blood. The final area where Donald's DNA was found was the most damaging to him. His unique DNA was found on the inside of Richard's belt, the belt he was wearing when he was murdered. On the fourth day of the trial, the prosecution called Marlon Purifoy to the stand. Marlon was led into the courtroom and to the witness chair. Donald's comfortable expression and body language immediately began to slip. He became awkward, nervous, and fidgety. Marlon was wearing a large shirt, buttoned most of the way up. It was patterned with large, thick, and bold white and green stripes. Clipped onto his collar with a pink clip was an identification card that also bears his photograph.
You state your full name, please.
Marlon Devon Purifoy.
Now, are you currently serving a prison sentence?
Yes, ma'am.
What's your charge?
Attempted murder.
And was that for attacking somebody with a hammer?
Correct, ma'am.
Now, based on testifying in this trial, are you hoping that your judge will reduce your sentence?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Purifoy, do you know this defendant seated over here, Donald Wayne Hartung?
Yes, ma'am. Correct. I do know him.
Okay. And when did you first meet Mr. Hartung, the year and date, if you recall?
Probably about March, the end of March of 2016.
Now, were you housed with Mr. Hartung at the Escambia County Jail?
Yes, ma'am.
Like, in a week, how many times would you speak with Mr. Hartung?
Well, I come down to him in a week's time, probably about 5-6 times. He always sent people for me and stuff.
Okay, so okay. He would send somebody to come get you?
Correct.
And then you would go to his cell?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Why was that?
Because people were scared of him.
Oh.
And my cellar was scared of him, too.
Why?
They thought he was a witch.
Did you also discuss religion with Mr. Hartung?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and what was the nature of your conversations?
We talk about voodoo, Wicca, and stuff like that. He believed in Wicca, and I told him I believe in voodoo.
Now, did you actually believe in voodoo?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Why did you tell him that?
I just told him that, you know what I'm saying, because just hear him talk, you know what I'm saying. He said he hated his mother because of the way she treated him. She treated him different from the other boys.
Did he say why?
They had different daddies.
Any other reasons he was upset with his mom?
Yeah, and she left him out the will. That really made him mad, he said.
Okay. And did he tell you who killed his mother and two brothers?
He said he killed. He said he want the money because she left him out the will.
So if he was mad at his mom, why not just kill his mom? Why the two brothers?
Because the money would go to the brothers because he was never in the will.
Okay.
He said he'd been playing it last three to four years. He said Ouija board made him go overboard, though.
The what? I'm sorry?
A Ouija board. He said that really made him do it, made him go overboard. Okay, he said he went and took some cameras down. He said he killed his brother after that, which is John. He said he hit him in the head from behind and cut his throat. He went to his mother, and then he tortured her so she can tell the accommodation for the safes and stuff.
How?
He cut her left pinky finger. Then he said he hit her in the head and slit her throat. He waited till Richard came home. And you know, Richard, he said Richard always come through the back door, and he shot Richard. But he said it didn't kill him, so Richard put up a struggle. He told me that he put clothes on the body so they couldn't tell the time, the death of the time. They got killed.
Okay.
At 45 years old, Martin Purifoy had 7 felony convictions and was serving a 30-year prison sentence for attempted murder. This was a sentence that was originally life behind bars. His cooperation in Donald's case earned him a cap of 30 years. After his testimony, he was hoping for a further reduction. Marlon was housed in Escambia County Jail back in March 2016, when Donald was already in prison there after his arrest in late October the year before. In different cells but the same pod with another 24 inmates, Marlon got chatting to Donald, curious about what he was inside for. Donald stayed mainly within his own cell. He didn't wander around the pod other than at mealtimes. If he wanted to speak with people, he would stay in his cell and have another inmate go and get the person he wanted. This is the behavior of someone who thinks they are in charge, thinks that they are a step above the others around him. Donald Hartung, even behind bars, liked to be seen as powerful and seemed to enjoy the air of fear the other inmates had around him. Yet, he had spoken at length with Marlon, whose attempted murder conviction also involved the use of a hammer. He had revealed facts and details about himself, his family, and how he had murdered them. It was an attitude that inside that courtroom backfired on him. The inmate he had spoken so openly with was now testifying against him, under oath, just feet in front of him. In the depositions carried out by law enforcement and prosecutors, Marlon had told them details about the case even they didn't know. There was a safe built into the floor inside the closet in Von Seal's bedroom. Concealed under the carpet, the crime scene technicians didn't find it during their examination of the house. Marlon also told them that the amputation of Von Seal's left pinky finger was not part of her desperately trying to defend herself. The injury had been inflicted on her by her son willingly and purposefully to extract information. Donald tortured his mother to get the combinations to the safe. The contents of the safe meant more to him than the pain screams of his mother as he sawed at her fingers. He mutilated her hand while she was alive to get what he wanted from her. As soon as he had achieved that aim, he proceeded to beat her with the claw hammer before slitting her throat. After Marlon's shocking evidence, Donald's son took the witness stand for the prosecution. As he sat across from his father inside the courtroom, it was the first time they had seen each other physically for almost 20 years.
When your father called you about the deaths of your grandmother and your uncles, what did he say?
When I got the call, the wording was, let me think for a second.
Sure, take your time.
He said, "Son, they're all dead." I was like, "That's kind of weird. What are you talking about?" He's like, "They're all dead. Your grandmother, RT, and John, they're all dead." That's how I found out.
Okay. And did he say anything about himself?
I believe that during that phone call, it's the first time I was told that he did not have anything to do with it.
Okay. And had you questioned whether he had anything to do with it, or how did that come up?
No, I didn't question it at all.
Okay. Did you question why he was saying that?
What do you mean?
He said, your family's dead, I didn't do it, right?
Yeah, well, he said they were dead, and he went into a little bit of the reason, you know, that something had happened with them in the house. Possibly they were murdered, and then we may have talked about some other stuff, I don't know. But that came up in the conversation, yeah.
That he didn't do it?
Yeah.
Okay, but you hadn't questioned him at that point?
No.
Okay. Now, prior to their deaths, when was the last time you had spoken to either your grandmother or Richard?
I think it was May.
Donald's defense team had a hard task. They had dispelled the notion that the Wicca religion featured human sacrifices under the rise of the Blue Moon. But they were unable to shake the confidence of the evidence remaining. After 6 days of testimony, both sides rested their case. The jury took over 4 hours on January 29, 2020 to reach their verdict.
Hi, the verdict form appears to be in proper form. Please publish the verdict. Yes,
sir. In the Circuit Court in and for Escambia County, Florida, State of Florida Plaintiff versus Donald Wayne Hartung, Defendant, Case Number 1715-CF-004806A, Division C, Danheiser. Verdict, as to the charge in Count 1, Fonsil Smith, we the jury find the defendant, Donald Hartung, guilty of first-degree murder as charged in the indictment. As to the charge in Count 2, John Smith, we the jury find the defendant, Donald Hartung, guilty of first-degree murder as charged in the indictment. As to the charge in Count 3, Richard Smith, we the jury find the defendant, Donald Hartung, guilty of first-degree murder as charged in the indictment. So say we all.
Donald remained expressionless and emotionless as he heard each of the three guilty verdicts. The phase to follow with the same jury members would determine if his life would be spared. On July 6, 2020, the penalty phase began. Donald Hartung asked the judge to let him read a statement he had prepared. He now looked ragged, unshaven, and older than the neatly presented image he gave at his trial. Judge Thomas V. Danheiser graciously allowed him to go ahead. For 45 minutes, Donald picked holes in his defense, accused his defense counsel of being ineffective, and repeatedly requested a mistrial.
Your Honor, that's not even real evidence. One sneak in that house where that black case was laying in there. Richard used to keep his checkbook on top of the refrigerator. I've moved it a million times. You know how many times I've touched that hammer? I put hurricane clips in the wall for Ivan with that very hammer. Hurricane clips in the concrete to put up boards. None of this was brought out. One sneeze could have just covered that black case with DNA in that house. That case could have laid around in that room forever. The pill box, I mentioned it to them, they didn't mention it. The pill box had laid in that kitchen for years. There's no proof that the medicine that's in there was even Mama's. It could have been John's for all we know. But one thing's for sure, it wasn't her current prescription. I'd be willing to bet you because if Lady Mama didn't use that, John memorized Mama's medicine and he gave her her medicine. He didn't need no pill box. And I would submit also that when Mrs. Jensen did her PowerPoint, she kept running down and saying things. There was not a single objection raised. She said, Mr. Hartung missed.
Sir, look at me when you're talking.
Mr. Hartung missed when he shot Richard. He tried to shoot Richard in the head. No objection. She said that Mr. Hartung forgot to take the trash out when he left. No objection. All pure speculation. Pure speculation. I also would point out that she had a fancy Star Wars type PowerPoint presentation where she had the numbers floating around and then they flashed up there showing how much money my family had. I had no knowledge of any of that, Your Honor. I had no idea they had that kind of money. And then Mr. Griffin gets up there with a give a show projector. I mean, not literally, but poor fella, he didn't even know how to operate the thing, hardly. I could go on and on and on. But I request a mistrial for lack of proper representation. I loved my jury. They paid attention. They paid close attention. But, Your Honor, they were duped. You were duped.
The judge did not indulge Donald with his wishes, and the penalty phase went ahead. Prosecutors wanted the maximum sentence laid down. His defense tried to suggest Donald had brain damage from past head injuries, or that he had dementia creeping into his cognitive process, preventing him from understanding his actions fully. Once again, the jury went away to consider their verdict. On February 7th, Donald Hartung discovered he had escaped the death penalty. He would not be put to death for the murders of his family. He would, however, spend the rest of what was left of his life in a prison cell. He was sentenced to 3 life sentences to run consecutively.
I am a Christian, first of all. But I do believe in the death penalty in certain cases when it's a heinous crime. And I think what he did to them was heinous. If it would have just been an argument and he shot them or they shot each other, but the way he did it. So I'm hoping for the death penalty. But if he gets life, I'll be fine with it, you know? Because I've already asked God, God, have your will, you know? Your will be done, not mine. And it hurts to say that I want the death penalty, because he's my cousin too. And that's what's hard about it. I can't believe he did this to his own mother and his brothers. But that's what I'm hoping for. But if he gets life, I'll be fine with it either way. Because life is life, and he'll never come out, and he don't deserve to come out, and he deserves punishment for what he did. I had to grapple with this. I went to classes on grief, and because when it first happened, I hated him so bad, and I wanted to hurt him. And I don't like to feel that about anybody. I wanted to hurt him like he hurt them. I wanted revenge. It's things you go through. I don't feel that way now. It took me a while. You know, it's taken these 4.5 years, so I guess it's good that it has taken 4.5 years to help me get used to it, whatever it's going to be.
Listener, the downfall of Donald Hartung was the clues he left behind and the observations from others that he didn't anticipate. He removed the web cameras Richard had installed before he carried out the murders, but only a killer who knew they were there in the first place could do that. He did some minor cleanup after his kills, depositing the blood-stained tissues in the kitchen trash. The end of a cigarette he smoked afterward sat neatly on top of where he threw it after distinguishing its flame. One cigarette butt that told investigators Donald was present inside that house after the family had been murdered. The most damning mistake he made was gleefully telling Marlon Purifoy about his disgusting deeds. Jail is not a nice place. There are others inside those pods, most likely bigger and scarier than him. His Wiccan beliefs fueled rumors he was a witch, rumors that gave an edge and a reason for people to be wary and even fear him. When Marlon Purifoy took an interest and expressed a similar belief in voodoo, Donald started to talk. Purifoy is a seasoned felon, and one who knew the confession of a killer was a ticket out of prison if you knew what to do with that information. And Marlon did. He put a call straight into Donald's prosecution team, securing his place on the witness list and a lower sentence for his own violent and almost deadly crime. To kill 3 people, one after another, with such violence and aggression, takes a cold, ruthless type of individual. When the lives being taken so brutally are your own family members, the level of depravity is raised significantly. Donald Hartung grew up with his half-brothers. He thought of their father as their father. His mother raised him alone, yet he repaid her by torture and pain. Donald didn't creep up behind his mom as he did with John. He didn't ambush her the same way he did with RT. He covered her head, blocking her eyesight and muffling her hearing before torturing her with agonizing physical pain. He must have spoken to her during this process to demand the combination to the safe. At that moment, if she didn't already know, Von Seal Smith would have realized the person doing this to her was her eldest son. To do this to the woman who gave you life puts Donald Hartung among some of the darkest and most evil killers. His own behaviors and actions led law enforcement directly to him. His arrogance and desire for admiration among similarly violent men sealed his fate inside a Florida courtroom. He will now live out his days inside a prison cell. This year, Donald will be 68 years old. He is currently serving his sentence in the Graceville Correction Facility in Jackson County, Florida. The money he killed his family to get his hands on bypassed him and went to his son. He does not have a cash account to buy him luxuries behind bars. Instead, Donald Hartung has his memories to remind him of how his murderous actions led him to a retirement inside federal prison.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.